Enriched Life Media presents The Jesus Message. Today's message will inspire you to take a closer look at the one we call Savior, Jesus Christ. We invite you now to enter the drama, power, and hope of the ongoing story of truth with our speaker, Danny Hood.
Today I want to talk to you about iron mixed with clay. Iron mixed with clay. Now we are living in confusing times, and what I want to do today is examine Daniel chapter 2. The Bible says in verse 1, "And in the second year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar dreamed dreams wherewith his spirit was troubled, and his sleep brake from him." I mean, first of all, that word troubled means to be agitated. It means basically he had a sleepless night. And I think in terms of where we are in our modern world, there are so many people who are suffering from anxiety, having sleepless nights because of the things that they're seeing, because of the things that they're imagining, because of the horrors, maybe that the information that is accumulated on a constant basis that we get from the news, that we get from social media, that we get from talking heads, that we get from just examining things going on around us. Verse 2 said, "Then the king commanded to call the magicians and the astrologers and the sorcerers and the Chaldeans for to show the king his dreams. So they came and stood before the king." Now, this magician actually is a word that literally means horoscopist. So they would study the horoscopes and the stars. And so it wasn't just about doing tricks, but it was about understanding the certain destinies that could be determined by reading the stars. And so they felt like they had some of their magical touch by understanding those things. Now, astrologers, they really were the conjurers. They used enchantments. So they didn't just study the stars, but it's almost like they prayed to them, or they prayed for the counsel of them. And then the sorcerers literally is a word that means to whisper a spell, or it's an enchantment. And when you think about this, you go back to the Garden of Eden. And part of the meaning of the name from the Hebrew for the word serpent comes from the hissing sound that a serpent would make, kind of a whispering, a soft tone. So these are somewhat the lullabies of lies. These are the enchantments of deception. And these sorcerers and astrologers and magicians all had in common this craft of studying the stars and coming up with spells based upon what they could read in the stars. And so this group generally came from the Chaldeans. So they had an old world mentality. They came from an ancient past. And so they were leaning on something other than God. They were leaning on witchcraft. They were leaning on their sorceries. They were reading on their horoscopes or their reading of the stars. Their understanding of the whole lit up night sky of the universe, and yet they didn't understand one thing about God. Verse 3 said, "And the king said unto them, I have dreamed a dream, and my spirit was troubled to know the dream. Then spake the Chaldeans to the king in Syriac, O king, live forever. Tell thy servants the dream, and we will show you the interpretation. The king answered and said to the Chaldeans, The thing is gone from me. If ye will not make known unto me the dream, with the interpretation thereof, ye shall be cut in pieces, and your houses shall be made a dunghill. But if you show the dream, and the interpretation thereof, ye shall receive of me gifts and rewards and great honor. Therefore, show me the dream and the interpretation thereof." They answered again and said, "Let the king tell his servants the dream, and we will tell you the interpretation of it." The king answered and said, "I know of a certainty that ye would gain the time, because ye see the thing is gone from me. But if ye will not make known unto me the dream, there is but one decree for you. For ye have prepared lying and corrupt words to speak before me, till the time be changed. Therefore tell me the dream, and I shall know that you can show me the interpretation thereof. The Chaldeans answered before the king in verse 10 and said, there is not a man upon the earth that can show the king's matter. Therefore there is no king, lord, nor ruler that asked such things at any magician or astrologer or Chaldean. And it is a rare thing that the king requireth, and there is none other that can show before the king except the gods, whose dwelling is not with flesh. The Bible said, for this cause the king was angry and very furious, and commanded to destroy all the wise men of Babylon. So here we are at a quandary, because the king is tired of the horoscopes. He's tired of the sorceries. He's tired of what he may feel at this point. He's gotten a little cynical about their operation. So he puts them to a test. He wants them to tell him the dream. And now they're forlorn. They're awestruck. They're confused. You could probably see them mumbling back and forth to one another with concerned looks on their face, because they realize that they can't pull the wool over the king's eyes now. And they lean on this somewhat understanding that man cannot do for this king what he is requiring. And that's a fact, because it wasn't going to be up to a man. It was going to be a God using a man. And so the decree went forth that wise men should be slain, and they sought Daniel and his fellows to be slain. Then Daniel answered with counsel and wisdom to Arioch, the captain of the king's guard, which was gone forth to slay the wise men of Babylon. He answered and said to Arioch, the king's captain, why is the decree so hasty from the king? Then Arioch made the thing known to Daniel. Then Daniel went in and desired of the king that he would give him time, and he would show the king the interpretation. So Daniel is becoming an intercessor, not only for he and his fellows, but also for all the wise men, even the wicked men, even the astrologers and sorcerers. He's standing in the gap, and now he's putting his own neck on the line. The Bible said that he went to his house and made the thing known to Hananiah and Mishael and Azariah, his companions. This was Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And they were now to begin to pray and seek the mercies of God. They needed the Lord to intervene here and to reveal the secret. Otherwise, Daniel and his comrades were going to perish at this rash decision of the king. And the Bible says in verse number 19, then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. You see, friend, the world is looking for answers that man cannot bring them. But when you get an intercessor like Daniel, when you get the people of God praying and seeking the Lord, it's the Lord that intervenes. It's the Lord that gives instruction. It's the Lord that brings interpretation and an understanding to things that otherwise would be unsolvable riddles to those that are just looking with it through a humanistic lens. And so Daniel answered and said, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for his wisdom and might are his, and he changeth the times and the seasons, and removeth kings, and setteth up kings, and he giveth wisdom unto the wise, and knowledge to them that know understanding. He revealeth the deep and secret things. He knoweth what is in darkness, and the light dwelleth with him. I thank thee and praise thee, O thou God of my fathers, who hath given me wisdom and might, and has made known unto me now what we desired of thee. For thou hast now made known unto us the king's matter. And so think of this in terms of the king's matter. This meant that Daniel was getting an understanding of the king's command, of his discourse, the subject that was important to the king, something that went beyond just normal circumstances, but something that dug deep into the secrets, into the hearts. And so Daniel goes back to Arioch, and he lets him know that he can show the king the interpretation. And so Arioch goes before the king. He lets the king know about Daniel. And then Daniel comes and stands in the presence of the king. And he says, the secret which the king had demanded cannot the wise men, the astrologers, the magicians, the soothsayers, show unto the king. But there is a God in heaven that revealeth secrets and maketh known to the king Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the latter days. Thy dream and the visions of thy head upon thy bed are these. Now think about it. Daniel is giving complete credit to God. He's not trying to have some kind of braggadocious moment. He's not trying to step in as some all-star prophet into the spotlight. He is giving all glory to God because he understands that the secrets of the heart come from the word of God that pierces even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit, of the joints and the marrow. And so Daniel begins to unfold the secrets of the king before the Lord. And he said, you saw this great image whose brightness was excellent, and it stood before you, and the form thereof was terrible. And that word terrible, really there, it means formidable. It's something to be dreaded. It's very imposing. This was not something that was small, but something that was great. And he said the image's head was of fine gold, his breast and his arms of silver, his belly and his thighs of brass, his legs of iron, his feet part of iron and part of clay. Thou sawest till that a stone was cut out without hands, which smote the image upon his feet that were of iron and clay, and brake them to pieces. Then was the iron, the clay, the brass, the silver, and the gold broken to pieces. Now, this is what I want you to see. When we get to the feet, we get to feet where it's iron mixed with clay. Later on in the text, it's going to tell us that it's partly strong and partly weak. Some have surmised in their historical context that this could be a mix between democracy and imperialism, or between strong government and mob rule. It could be something that shows even those that are for militancy, because the iron shows strength, and those that are against militancy, and they're all a part of this same multicultural, multi-environment, if you will, kingdom that is going to be the last Gentile rulership just before the coming of the Lord. But what is interesting here is that this partly strong and partly weak kingdom is a ten-toed kingdom that is going to be ruled by the end-time Antichrist. And this kingdom is going to have parts of it that are very strong and parts of it that are very weak, parts of it that are going to seem to be even economically blessed, and others that may seem to be impoverished, but they're all under this same umbrella. They're all under this same apostate awning of the last days that is ruled by the overshadowing demonic agenda-filled Antichrist. And so this spirit is going to come to try to not only rule the last days, but to disrupt the plan of God for all of humanity. And what is interesting here is that the gold, that golden head that is going to speak of the Babylonian Empire, that once it gets to the feet, once it devolves to this particular institution of the last days and Gentile empire, that when it begins to fall, it falls from the head all the way to the feet. That tells you that there are elements of all of the kingdoms, the Babylonian kingdom, the Grecian kingdom, the Persian empire, the Roman empire. There are going to be mythologies, there are going to be demonic powers, there are going to be strongholds, there are going to be figures and symbols that are going to stretch from the golden head empire of the Babylonian empire before Christ all the way down to the last days just before the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's going to be elements of it that are going to be in existence at the same time. It's kind of like what John the Revelator saw in Revelation 13, when there were seven heads and ten horns that came up out of the sea. These seven heads would represent the seven Gentile empires of the past that are all a part of this ten-horned kingdom of the last days. So all that has been accumulated from the ancient days to modern times, to the times of insignificant understanding, to a time where knowledge is increasing at an exponential rate in the last days. And so you have these powers, you have these different kingdoms, you have these different dimensions of strength and glory even that are distinctive. And then there is this ruling power that brings all of it together, this iron mixed with clay. And think about it, how that iron mixed with clay even speaks of the human spirit. There are people that have such a strong will, and yet they do not understand that in the limitations of their flesh, they can only go so far. Ingenuity and human engineering and the architecture of man and technological advances and medicinal discoveries and things that can even be conjured up with witchcraft powers can only go so far. They do not have complete iron. They do not have impartial strength. There is a part of it that is going to seem invincible, and there is a part of it that is going to seem too weak to even stand. And this iron mixed with clay, it speaks of so many who want to have dominion, the iron, but it's based on deception, the clay, because you can't get iron and clay to mix together. These are just two things that are so opposite and different. You have one that is a metal, and you have one that is basically dirt. And you're trying to bring these things together. And so when you try to bring, say, the spirit of humanism, which is anti-God, it wants to give man credit for every accomplishment, for every achievement. It doesn't want God to be included. It doesn't want the name of Jesus to be mentioned. It doesn't want any kind of Christian interference. It doesn't want anybody walking into our school systems with biblical convictions or mandates to question what's being taught to the impressionable minds of our young kids. It simply wants to endear itself to the human spirit that can accomplish anything. Well, that sounds great, but that's like an eagle that gets up really high and then all of a sudden it loses strength in its wings, or its wings are clipped off. And what gave the eagle power to thrust up that high into the heavens and to soar and to hover and to float even miles at a time on the high winds, suddenly that ability is lost. And that's the spirit of humanism. That's the human spirit that is the clay. There is this iron will. There are these iron ideologies. But the weakness of human dependence, the weakness of a godless society, is that at some point it's going to need God. It's going to come to some avenue. It's going to come to some juncture in societal desperation. It's going to come to some place in the shadows of destruction where it has no light, or it's too dim in understanding to find the solutions. And the Antichrist himself will be a riddle solver. And it will seem that he has all the esoteric answers to anything that comes along. But there is one thing he cannot answer, and that is the throne of God. Nobody can usurp the authority of the Almighty God. And so in the last days, we have confusion coming together with conformity. I mean, you have a lot of people that are just joining something, and yet in the very heart of it, in the very core of it, in the very depth of understanding of it, it's ignorance. It's shallow. There is an absence of true explanation. It's just people jumping on board. I mean, it's like people getting involved in some riot, and all of a sudden here they are picking up a baseball bat and smashing in car windows and store shopping windows and glass shattering everywhere, and mayhem and madness and destruction and fires that are being started, cars being overturned, and the charred remains of things in the days ahead. And then you interview them later and say, well, why were you a part of this? And some can't even hardly give an answer. It's almost like they were just caught up in the emotion of it. They were just caught up in this visceral feeling of being a part of something that was unleashing this animalistic rage. Well, that's iron mixed with clay. It's a cause with confusion. People that are jumping on board like zombies, walking around with a stare of uncertainty, and yet they're ready to fight, and they're ready to burn something down, or they're ready to go to cultural wars over things that they don't really even understand or believe. That is the confusion of the end times. And you have this Pied Piper mentality where people are like mice following the Pied Piper to a destructive end, And yet while they're in that crowd and while they're in that mass and majority opinion, they feel like they're victorious. They feel like they're covering ground. They feel like they're gaining something. They feel like they're in this gang-like acceptance and they're a part of something and they fall in love with that. Well, that's the humanistic trap. Because when you shove God out, when you reject the word of God, when you eliminate the name of Jesus, when you dry up the baptism waters, when you settle for the arid climates of human opinion, when you settle for the deserts of godlessness and the absence of the presence of God that truly brings an oasis or a spring of the Spirit or the rivers of the Holy Ghost, when you start settling for those things, you think that this is just the way it is. And this is the part of humanity that we're going to be a part of. Here we are now in this atheistic society. Here we are in these constantly developing mindsets that refuses to believe in the Bible and the inerrancy of the Scripture. And so they come up with their own formulas. They come up with their own script. They come up with their own creeds. They come up with their own humanistic Bibles. And they live by those standards. But those standards are weak. And those standards will be shredded in the winds of reality and end time judgment when the reckoning of the Lord comes. Because there's going to come a moment when all of these things, according to Daniel 2 and 40, no matter how strong the iron is, there is going to be the irony in the last days of it all breaking apart. It's coming to an end. It's going to be crushed. And it's not the kingdom of a man that's going to crush it. It's going to be the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's going to be a revelation. As Daniel said in Daniel 2 and 41, whereas thou sawest the feet and toes, part of potter's clay and part of iron, the kingdom shall be divided, but there shall be in it of the strength of the iron, forasmuch as thou saw the iron mixed with clay, and as the toes of the feet were part of iron and part of clay, so shall the kingdom be partly strong and partly broken. And whereas thou sawest iron mixed with miry clay, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men, but they shall not cleave one to another, even as iron is not mixed with clay. So you're going to have all of these cultural struggles as part of what Jesus prophesied in Matthew 24. Ethnos would be against ethnos, or ethnicity, races against races, or nations against nations, kingdom against kingdoms. And yet it seems as if something will somehow bring all of them together in some disjointed fashion, in some despotic rule, in some superhuman aim to be the God sitting on the throne, this self-appointed end-time Caesar who is going to make himself this God-like, invincible individual that's going to command worldwide worship. And yet, in the very end, no matter how strong its military is, no matter how strong all of its engineering is, no matter how strong its fortitude and fortresses are, no matter how many weapons it has to aim against the Lord Jesus Christ, it's going to be too weak. It's going to come to a destructive end. And so, my friend, the question is your soul in a place where it's like iron mixed with clay? Are you living with a certain confidence in the world and yet at the same time a confusion about what's to come? Are you living in this dependence upon human opinions and human discoveries, and yet at the same time there is this emptiness on the inside of you that wants to reach for the obedience of the Word of God and wants to reach for the clarity that comes when you let the Lord Jesus Christ be the center of your life? And so I pray today that you trade iron mixed with clay for that true rock, the Lord Jesus Christ, a firm foundation, a everlasting truth, something that is not just going to be here today and gone tomorrow, something that will not fade with all of the philosophies of the world in the past. They will all be just ashes filtering and lifted on a wind of the last days of destruction. But you can stand upon the truth. You can stand upon the Lord Jesus and his word, because he will never leave you nor forsake you. He will give you something that will lead you out of your confusion. He will give you something that will lead you out of the darkness toward a peace that passes all understanding. My friend, you don't have to settle for confusion. You don't have to settle for the corruption of an anti-God rhetoric or religion. You can have the true thing. A river of the Spirit can flow out of you today in Jesus' name.
Hi, this is Lori Hood speaking on behalf of my husband, Danny Hood, for thejesusmessage.org. If you enjoyed today's message and wanted to know more and hear more, visit thejesusmessage.org. At The Jesus Message, you will find podcasts of messages to download, inspirational blogs to read, videos, and much more. Our speaker has written several books, including God's Time Zone. God's Time Zone will encourage you that it's never too late to dream, to trust God, and to see God in His timing to do what you never thought possible. Two other soul-stirring books are entitled The Desperation Zone, Where Storms Brew and Miracles Happen. This book will show you men and women just like you that overcame tragic and traumatic and trying events in their lives. The Desperation Zone focuses on the deep motivation of prayer and how God takes the debris of life and builds incredible testimonies. The other book is entitled The Impossibility Zone, Where Faith Triumphs. In this book, my husband visits the conquering lives of ordinary men and women of the Bible in contemporary times. The Impossibility Zone will put you in the valley with David as he defeats Goliath, in a widow woman's grieving world as the Savior changes a funeral to a celebration, and in everyday routine situations that show us God is truly near. Visit shop.thejesusmessage.com. That's shop.thejesusmessage.com and order one of these truly soul-stirring, inspirational books today. Also, if one of our podcasts has ministered to you or given you some light in a dark time, or if you have a specific prayer you would like for us to pray about, please let us know by sending an email on our contact page of thejesusmessage.org. We look forward to hearing from you. Have a wonderful, blessed day.
Friend, I want to thank you for listening to the Jesus Message today, and I certainly hope that you've been touched and inspired by what you've heard. And we want you to join us again next week when the story of the Bible continues, and you, my friend, are a part of that story.
Thank you for listening to the Jesus Message. It is our sincere prayer that you have been touched by today's message, and we invite you to join us again next week for another exciting presentation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. For more information about the Jesus Message, visit thejesusmessage.com. That's thejesusmessage.com.